this time, please silence your cell phones. We respectfully, yeah, that's right. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we're going to be discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel. We have Tyler and Ebony. And I'm going to go ahead and read. Each of the panel is going to share for a few minutes each on each of the readings. And we're going to keep it rolling like that. And Tyler made it into the Zoom room first. So we kind of voluntold him to go first. So Ebony, you get to sit back for a minute. All right. The first reading is going to be on page 84. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Tyler?
Howdy, I'm Tyler. I'm an alcoholic. How's the sound quality? Good enough?
Great.
Cool beans. Thank you all very much for asking me to be here tonight. I'm really glad that there's a meeting tonight I can virtually go to. So let's say a few things about myself. I am an alcoholic. I have a home group. I have a sponsor. I have the privilege and the honor to sponsor other men in this program, helping people get over the insurmountable problem that was so freely helped. The help that was given to me to get over the drinking problem, giving that away to other people is something I didn't know I was missing. And it's pretty freaking awesome. So I have a sobriety date, August 5th, 2019. So with all that said, that's not to say, oh, I belong here. I'm qualified to be here. That's just some information about myself that says, yeah, I'm in this program. And with all that said, I say that this whole sobriety thing, it tends to work out. My life today is way better than it was before. And that right there is enough reason to do this. So step 10 is not one I did right off the bat, obviously. So step 10 suggests we continue to take personal inventory, implying we already have taken some sort of inventory, which taking inventory is boring. It's lame. It's not sexy. It's not adventurous. It's not romantic. It's not awesome, but it's just boring. But you got to do it. I got to do it. Any worthwhile business has to do it. I didn't like taking inventory for two main reasons, and that was pride and fear. My pride says, you don't gotta take a look at yourself, man. Look at all these other jerks. I was I was in the Navy for 9 years and I sometimes curse. I'll try my best. Look at all these other jerks. Look how bad they are. You don't got to worry about them. And my fear says, you can't look at yourself. You might see something you don't like. You know, deep down inside, I know better. I know I'm not as nearly as good as I like to think I am, but that's why I didn't take inventory. I would go to bed at night drunk. If I was not blackout drunk, I was groaning about tomorrow, staying up way too late, ensuring that tomorrow was going to suck by sealing happiness, just bringing it forward. And eventually I was bankrupt at the end. I had already borrowed all the happiness I could. I'm speaking in transactional terms because that kind of makes sense to me, you know, numbers. I'm a math and physics kind of guy. And so when I look at step 4 and then step 10, it's an inventory. What do I got? What do I owe? And when I look at it like that, it's easy. It's boring. It's black and white. So when I look at step 10, it says we have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I have a function today, which is wonderful. I get to grow, which is wonderful. And so just fester. And on a practical day-by-day picture, what does that look like for me? Today, it's easy for me to kind of say, yeah, I'm not as bad as I was, but I'm pretty good today. Just today, I messed up and I need to make an amend to somebody. It's a really minor thing, but that's a wonderful problem to have. I get to recognize it and I get to have a process to make those amends, going out, you know, saying, hey, I was a jerk. Or I lied to you or whatever. And we were just talking about it before the meeting, you know, that it comes up all the time. So what do I do if I do find myself being less than perfect? Is I ask God to help write me. Before I got to the program, I didn't believe in God. And through the process of taking the steps and failing and learning and seeing how it worked in others, I got to see what it meant to be successful and what it means to take a good 10th step. And my first example, love and tolerance of others is our code. I'll give you a very quick example, then I'll pass it over. I was about 2 years sober. I left the program because it wasn't working. I had done step 4 and I was great, and step 5 and I was great. It was difficult and it was tricky and it was hard. But I felt that release and I felt like I was ready to get moving on. So I made my list of all the people I had wronged. And I was ready to go to him. And I went to my sponsor and he was drunk. And so I left the program because it clearly doesn't work. But when I came back to the program, during that time I was away, I got 2 years sober. By the grace of me gripping my armrest and digging a hole in it, like, oh, I really want to drink, but here I'm not drinking. And so I come back in the program, get a new sponsor, yada, yada, yada. I get back into my home group and my very first business meeting after I come back, they said, hey, who's got celebrations? I raised my hands like, hey, you know, 2 months ago, I hit 2 years. Where's my medallion? Some jerk says, well, your sponsor should have given it to you. I looked him dead in the eye and I said, my sponsor's dead. I said some more words that I won't repeat here. And then he said the funniest thing I've ever heard anybody say ever to me. Doesn't sound like a very good sponsor. Oh my, the entire room, recoiled away. You know, it was hilarious. And I laughed so hard my sides hurt. And it hurt. Like I felt like I was wounded. Like, yeah, that was a sore spot. My sponsor just relapsed and killed himself. But you know what? After the meeting, I can't remember anything about the meeting. But after the meeting, that guy came up to me and says, hey, man, that was really messed up of me to say I was really wrong to do that. Is there anything I can do I need to make an amends? Is there anything I can do? I said, just you doing that, just you saying that and expressing remorse about what you did tells me a lot and shows me like, holy cow, people in this program, A, can be huge jerks. That was a really mean thing to do. This is funny, but you know, it was really mean. And 2, can redeem themselves. And since that moment, I realized that's what step 10 means, man. Little things like making a bad joke and making amends for it later. Man, that meant the world to me. And if I can do that going forward, it's a lot better than how I used to live. for many years, I pissed off people just by saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing to them. And I could talk all day on that, but I think I'll just pass it on right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Ebony?
Hey, y'all. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Ebony. My home group is Downtown Young and Sober. We meet Thursday nights at 8 p.m. on West Freemason Street, 124. I do have a sponsor. I have the privilege of sponsoring other people. I also have a service position inside and outside of my home group. I say all of those things because I am an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous today, which was the last thing I wanted to do, which kind of comes full circle with this step. You know, my first sponsor was someone who made me look up principles behind each step. And she told me for step 10, it was all about perseverance. And she was also one of those people who made you get a dictionary and define words. And so in my book, I have perseverance, continued effort. I can stop right there. That is not Ebony. That's not me on my own power. I do not continue, period. You know, I have to start this. We're talking about step 10, but I have to talk a little bit about 1 through 9. You know, it's not a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous for me if I can't identify in. You know, I tried for so long. I tried all these different solutions to stop drinking on my own. You know, but the problem was I do not have the power. You know, I do not have the power of choice. I do not have the power to stop. When I put alcohol in my system, I never know where it's going to go. And despite my best efforts, I couldn't stop. You know, that sums up my entire drinking career. You know, I haven't had a drink since Friday the 13th, November 2015, by the grace of God and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, somewhere in between taking these simple actions and following suggestions and doing what I was told, despite my best thought process, I found a power greater than myself that stands between me and the drink. You know, that's the great part. But the other part is that when the desire to drink is removed, I'm still left with me. You know, stone cold sober, I am still left with all of the ways that I like to run the show, run your show, run the world. And this is years removed from a drink. I'm not talking about my first year of sobriety. The first year of sobriety is a gift. I did not understand that. You know, but years removed from the drink, I have found step 10 to be one of the most powerful steps for me in my life today. You know, and so I love this part because it says continue over and over again. And just to start, I was in the car having a conversation with a friend who was talking about my sponsor wants me to start step 10, but I'm not done with all my amends. And I just laughed because that was me. You know, I come into AA and I have this idea of how everything's supposed to be, even though I've never worked the steps in my life and I've never been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I love these clear-cut directions. It tells me in this first sentence right here that I continue to take personal inventory and continue to write any new mistakes as we go along. And so that means even if I'm not done with all of my amends, I can start step 10 immediately. You know, I this is my chapstick step. I'm so sorry if you've heard me speak. I can't come up with new stuff. I'm addicted to chapstick, okay? I cannot think when my lips are dry. So I have a bedside chapstick, a book bag chapstick, a purse, or car chapstick. When I need chapstick, I put my chapstick on. And that's what step 10 is for me. I get to use step 10 as I go along. Not at night, not just when I'm laying my head down. That's not for me. You know, I wake up in the morning causing chaos. And I'm so grateful for a step 10. I can pray, I can meditate, I can read on awakening. And as soon as I walk out of my bedroom, the show goes on. And Ebony's already needing a 10th step. And that's on a good day, you know? So I love these clear-cut directions that it gives me. You know, it tells me I vigorously, I don't think Bill, and I don't think they were like loosely using words. The fact that it tells me vigorously means that I'm working hard. I'm searching. I am looking for the stuff that is still blocking me off from God. No, this is so much more than just not drinking. And for me, the 10th step is the part that lets me see these things. All the different small parts of my life where I'm still blocking God out. You know, and so it gives me these directions that tell me I have to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So I try not to be spicy or controversial. But right here, it tells me in this sentence, step 10, 11, and 12 are not about maintaining anything. It's about me growing a relationship with my creator, growing closer to the God of my understanding, learning how to love people more. If I'm just maintaining, I might as well be dying. You know, the whole point right here is for me to grow. And so the directions tell me what to do. When these things, because they're guaranteed to pop up, I'm going to be fearful. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to be self-centered. I'm going to be resentful. I'm going to be dishonest, you know? And my first thought is like, when these things crop up, call somebody. But it tells me the first thing I need to do is to ask God at once to remove them. Once again, go to God first. That's not my natural thing. You know, my natural, honestly, is not the first call, you guys. My natural is, how can I figure this out? How can I think my way through it? Let me overanalyze this. I already did my character defects and I already asked God to take them away. Why is this happening? Let me beat myself up. And there goes that self-centered Ebony overthinking. And knowledge is not enough for a real alcoholic like me. All I'm doing is I'm continuing to distance myself from the God of my understanding. You know, and so I'm grateful for these directions. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly. And then the very ending, then we resolutely, and I had to look that one up, marked by firm determination, boldly turn my thoughts to someone I can help. You know, I don't want to think about how I can help you when I'm afraid of losing my job. I don't want to think about how I can help you when there's fear forming about financial insecurity. I don't want to think about how I can help you when I'm fearful I can't get what I want, or I'm going to lose what I have, or my needs aren't going to be met. No, but I love the fact that time and time again, when I take the actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, God has always shown up. Maybe not the way I want, not the way I think it should happen, but usually bigger and better than what I could have imagined. And then the very last part, love and tolerance of others is our code. The tolerance for me in step 10 is I get to see things from a different perspective. I get to see the humanity of other people. I get to, and I, step 10 is not about me all, like it, when I do my 10th step, it's not like magically erase, but usually there's at least a slight change in perspective that lets me acknowledge the humanity in others, which usually lets me see the me and you. For some reason, when I can see the me and you or the you and me, I can calm myself down a little bit. You know, I can love you a little bit better. I can show up the way God wants me to. But that's all I got right now. So thanks.
Thank you both so much. That was awesome. All right. We're going to continue on reading. Also on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Tyler.
Howdy. gives us all this wonderful, wonderful promises. And it says, you got to do a little something. That's how we react to all that wonderful stuff. As long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. When I got in this program, I was an atheist. I thought spirituality was putting crystals here for Hoyt going home. Because that's all I knew. That's what my sisters did. They're my sisters. I'm not going to say anything bad about them, but I'm going to think it pretty loudly. So I had this idea, this preconceived notion when I get to this program. And a lot of what we learn in this program is to set aside what we think we know because it's not working. I don't know what you had when I got into this program, but I had nothing worthwhile. I was competent in a lot of regards, but when it came to drinking, when it came to living, when it came to being even mildly happy, I was completely bankrupt. I had nothing. I was miserable. So when I joined this program and I have this thing called a spiritual experience, and I learned what that means, and my sponsor put it to me in simple terms, hey, all you got to do is do these prayers in the morning and follow the other steps, and this inspiration of what you should do will just kind of come. All you got to do is be open and willing and honest. That's a huge part of it, honesty. And for me, when I read this one, it says sanity will have returned, and it applies in the second step that we are insane. I was pretty eager to get that sanity back. And I know I have it. I know I do, even though I don't like to think I do. I like to do that self-deprecating humor and talk down to my inner self. And I got to give myself a little bit of credit because I do react sanely in regards to life today, for the most part, not 100%. I'm still human. I'll give you an example because I need examples to see that it works for other people. That's why I joined this program. I wouldn't do it if it didn't work. So when my grandmother died, she was the keystone of the family. She was too pure for this world. I jokingly say that she was Jesus's older sister. I got her to curse one time when I was a kid, and that was a mission. And I felt so bad when it happened, but that's a better story than this one. When she passed, we drank in her house, and I felt like sacrilege. It felt like, it felt like stealing from a church. It was really bad. And my dad ended up going to the hospital after the wake because he got in a fight with my cousin. Of course, we're all drinking. That's how me and my family react to tragedy is we drink. We push it down. We don't want to deal with it directly. And that's how I was raised, and that's how I react to life. Even today, I want to not tackle my life problems head on because it sounds like a lot of work. I don't want to do that. But let me give you another example. I had been through the steps, and I was just working with my very first sponsee on, I want to say, step eight. I can't remember exactly what. But we're reading, and I just learned that my nephew had been born dope sick. My sister was doing all sorts of drugs with him in the womb. Luckily, he's alive and healthy today. Another sister calls him fat and stinky. So he's a fat and stinky one-year-old. And I'm grateful for that. That's a miracle right there. But when I got the news that my nephew is probably going to die, I was floored. I it took me a few hours to really appreciate that fact. And luckily, I was with the sponsee before a meeting. We went to the meeting, and during the meeting, I was like, dude, this is happening. And I shared about it at the meeting, and I was vulnerable. I talked with other people, and somebody who had been through something similar talk with me one-on-one after the meeting, and I felt like crying. And I got home and I called my sponsor, said, hey, this just happened. I don't know what to do. And he asked, hey, are you drinking right now? Are you going to drink? I said, no, absolutely not. Where's God? I said, God's giving me a nephew. And I started bawling like a baby. I was crying. I was snotty crying. It was ugly. And then I got a hold of my dad, who was 3 years sober, and he had relapsed over this whole issue. And I did cry. I bawled like a baby all over again. And you know what? And then I went to bed the next day. I went right back to work. Went to work as a caregiver for this friend of mine, Steve. I told him about it. And so I had one experience where all I did was kind of just sit and wallow and drink and be miserable. And everybody around me was doing the same thing. We're all affected. Event B, I was vulnerable. I felt these emotions. I'd been sober for a neighborhood of 3 years at this point. I talked with other people, got their experience, got their strength, got their hope. And, you know, I did feel like drinking. And I felt nauseous. I felt like I was going to puke. I felt like drinking for a whole half sec. I can't make this up. This really happened. And so when it says, if tempted, we recoil from a hot flame. Yeah, that happened to me. I was tempted, but it was like two North Pole magnets coming together. I was pushed away. I can't explain it, man. It's something beyond my human comprehension. And that makes me think it's kind of a miracle. What did I do to get that reaction? I don't know. I have no idea. I definitely feel today that was a miracle. I'm not fighting the drink. I'm not avoiding temptation. I feel pretty neutral and safe. And I feel like I didn't climb to that position. I was just put there. And that is contingent upon keeping in fit spiritual condition, which for me, bare minimum looks like waking up in the morning saying, God, I can't, you can, please help me. Bare minimum as I do that. I want to go above and beyond. I'll do some more prayers. I'll do some more readings, and on and it goes. And that's about all I got. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ebony?
Yeah, I was listening to Tyler share in the last part. For some reason, hearing the word miracle, just like my heart. You know, because I take this thing for granted. I take the life that I get to live today. I wish I could be like, every day I wake up and I am grateful to God for my sobriety, which I am. I'm grateful for my sobriety. But I miss the fact that this is a miracle that a drunk like me, a girl who accidentally gets drunk, a girl who drinks when she does not want to, a girl who will lie, cheat, and steal despite not wanting to, because I just have to drink, you know? And that is why, you know, are these extravagant promises at the ninth step? I feel like that should be here in these 10-step promises. Because for someone like me, the thought of, I will seldomly be interested in liquor, that's an extravagant promise for me. But here it is in step 10. I remember just thinking, when am I going to stop feeling like this? When is this going to go away? Why am I still, am I doing something wrong? Like, where's God in all of this? Why can't I feel it? You know, and I'm so grateful for effective sponsorship and the love from the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous that just encouraged me more than to just keep coming back. They encouraged me to keep doing the work, you know? And so I keep doing the work, and all of a sudden, like, I get these results from taking the actions. You know, and I love the fact that it says, I will seldom be interested in liquor, because I am quick to condemn myself. I remember White Claw, the sparkling alcoholic seltzer, when it first came out, I was like, man, I wish I could try that. I love seltzer and I love alcohol. Why wasn't that out when I was drinking? And now I'm watching them. Now they have zero proof White Claw. Like, what? That does not make sense to me. Now I'm not interested in White Claw anymore, you know? And so I love the fact that it tells me it will seldomly happen. It reminds me that there are going to be times when things crop up, which is why I need a 10th step, which is why I need to resolutely turn my thoughts to someone else, which is why I need to be open and honest with what's going on in my life. My attitude towards liquor has been given to me without any thought or effort on my part. You know, no thought. I don't know. I know it took some effort, though. It took getting honest. It took showing up in front of people and saying I was wrong. It took hearing how I could make things right. You know, it took becoming an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, but for the little amount of work of those few small actions, the things that I've been granted are far, like, it is not even an even scale to compare. I've done a minuscule amount of effort and work compared to the miracle that I've been granted in Alcoholics Anonymous. And a couple of different stories come to my mind when it comes to these 10-step promises. And I've been to two weddings in sobriety. The first one, I told everyone, no, I don't drink. I don't drink. Like, I'm sober now. And then the second one, I just said, no, thank you. Like, that to me right there is the definition of acting sane. Just no, thank you. I don't have to wear my sobriety flag. I don't have to, nobody needs to know I'm an alcoholic and all of that stuff. You know, my mom doesn't drink, and I've watched her time and time again just say no like a normal person. That doesn't cross my mind. You know, the fact that I'm not drinking, everybody in this world needs to know and appreciate and ask me all these questions. But apparently the sane and normal thing to do is just, no, thank you. I have a Diet Coke. I have a seltzer. You know, that's me. I did a fifth step yesterday. I did a fifth step yesterday morning, and part of the thing that came out when we were discussing my fear inventory is a lot of it boiled down to fear of being vulnerable, fear of being seen as weak, fear of not being safe, you know, and I see this in these 10-step promises. Like, more than just I've been placed in a position of neutrality, but safe and protected. Like, I crave security. I crave to feel okay in my own skin. I crave to be comfortable with you, with God, with myself. And alcohol was something that gave me that sense of safety and protection, you know, but here it is that I have this connection to a God that loves me so much that not only am I placed in a position of neutrality when it comes to alcohol, but I'm also get that I also am safe and protected. And I forget that sometimes, you know, in step 10 and these promises, it for me, it's so much more now today than the alcohol, but everything to deal with me and the problem that centers in my mind, you know? And so I'm safe and protected from this, which is what someone like me, whose brain is always racing and who's spiteful and petty and holds a grudge and can be nasty with my words. When I'm consistently doing this 10th step, I'm not creating the same damage and harm and chaos. I'm not blocking myself off from the sunlight of the spirit, nowhere to the amount that I was before. But when I do, the 10th step allows me to clean it up, you know, and that is my experience. I get to react so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, you know, and that right there is one of those like anti-promises. If I'm not doing this, I'm not going to be in the fit spiritual condition. If I'm not in fit spiritual condition, we all know what will happen. I might not drink, but I'm going to hate life and I'm going to hate you and you're going to end up hating me. I know that because I know who I am on my own power. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. All right. We are going to continue on on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Thank you. Ebony, I about died at zero proof White Claw. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. What are they going to come up with next? Sink proof submarines? Come on. That's ridiculous. man, that's funny. Anyway, the here it says it's easily lit up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. To me, that was really easy to do shortly after finishing all the steps, shortly after finishing the amends, actually. Because it's like, I did it, cool. I'll pray every day. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll go to meetings all the time, you know. Yeah. Maybe I missed it today, not a big deal. Oh well, I'll get it tomorrow. And then a couple days goes by, like, I haven't been praying in the morning. I'm just fine. Maybe they were full of baloney, who knows? And pretty quickly after that, like Ebony was saying, I started hating you. And because I was a belligerent jerk, you were probably starting to hate me. At some point, somebody actually called me out and said, hey, man, something going on with you? And I was like, what? Life's just fine, man. And turns out I was letting up on my spiritual program. Luckily, I had somebody call me out because I was acting like a belligerent jerk. And I appreciate that. And I don't pray every single day. I'm not perfect. I do pretty often. I'm getting pretty good at it. But when it says resting on our laurels, I didn't really know what that meant for the longest time. And then some old guy in a meeting one time says, do you know what a laurel wreath is? I was like, I think so. And he's like, oh, a laurel is what those Roman emperors wear on their heads when they come back from a campaign and they wear it during their parade called a triumph. That's where the word triumph comes from. And so when you rest on your laurels, it means you're sitting on your laurels, which are on your head, which means your head's up your ass. That's something I heard. It's probably true. I don't know. But what alcohol is definitely a subtle foe. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent. I looked up that word. Dependent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Maintenance, there you go. That maintenance is not sexy. Maintenance is not fun. Maintenance is not, well, maintenance can be a little fun, but maintenance is not dramatic. It's boring, just like the inventory. To me, it's boring, but it's very necessary. And we just talk about why. If I'm lazy on the maintenance, the machine's going to break down. I'm the machine. If I break down, I'm gonna bad things are gonna happen. I'm gonna start drinking, and that's the least of the bad things that happen, because the real consequences are gonna come shortly afterwards. So how do I keep away from that? I gotta keep on the daily maintenance of my spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. The prayer I mentioned is like my quote unquote, like bare minimum. I stole that from somebody. I can't, you can, please help me. To me, that's the bare minimum. And that's adequate. That's better than nothing. Sometimes during the day, I'll come to a decision point. I can be a jerk, or I can be lazy, or I can stick to Tyler's will, or I can remember that prayer and say, I told God I was going to do what he wants me to do today. Crap, I better go get to that meeting, or I better go give that person a ride, or I better call my mom, or, you know, whatever it is I got to do that I don't want to do because it's lame. But it's useful, and I got to go do it. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. And I had another example, but I can't remember what I was going to talk about. So that's about all I got for now, I suppose. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Ebony?
It's easy to let up on this. You know, I'm so defiant. I think I'm the exception to the rule. You know, I remember thinking earlier on that, not me, I've found gold. I'm never going to let this go. I'm going to do this right forever and ever and ever. Amen. I don't know how anyone could ever let, like, it is easy. It is easy. The thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is it works so well that I forget that I need Alcoholics Anonymous sometimes. You know, I don't mean the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I mean the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can be surrounded by you all and not be practicing these principles and these applying these actions in my life and feel just like I did when I was sponsoring myself, going to a lot of meetings and not taking any action. Alone, misunderstood, full of fear, angry, and stone cold sober, you know, and so I, you know, what happened to me was I found myself in a meeting doing exactly what I said I would never do, cry. I was sitting there and this was not even half a year. This was like 5 months ago. I'm sitting in a meeting at Cornerstone. I don't even know what we're reading. And all of a sudden, I just have like this moment where I realize like I've let up. And I can just feel the disconnection. I'm so grateful, you know, that I was able, despite the fear, to just tell the truth and be vulnerable. You know, because I was resting on all the rewards of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've got a great relationship. I've got a job. I've got some good friendships. You know, I feel nice and I've got some service positions. I'm pretty busy. You know, I'm not thinking of drinking, you know, but I'm not regularly taking inventory. I am shallowly doing a 10th step. I am doing the things on the surface. I was the girl that was like, I will only focus on the big, big things, you know? But the problem for me is it's the little stuff that breaks me. You know, it's the continuously not waking up on time. It's the becoming, giving myself credit. I've worked hard. So I know this is the deadline, but I'm going to turn it in when I feel like it. It's the leave a meeting and judge all of the shares. That wasn't big book enough. That wasn't solution focused enough. This is a miserable place. COVID has ruined Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I'm unhappy here. These are the things that I was doing, you know, and not talking about the truth was like the fear of things are changing and I'm uncomfortable. I don't know where my place in AA is anymore. The fear of, Is there going to be unity? Are people who need this program going to find it? Are we going to still be doing it the same way? The fear of, I just had all of this stuff and I wasn't looking at it. I wasn't, you know, and then like personal relationships and all that stuff. That's a whole nother can of worms right there. Oh, and so I'm grateful for this because what happened is, when I finally broke, that's when God was able to come in. You know, and the thing about the 12 steps is that as soon as I start taking action, all of a sudden things are just the exact same circumstances and I find hope again. You know, I find this, not relief, but I find this freedom that had always been there. When I look for God, God's always there. But I am the person who's blotting it out. You know, so I love this. We are headed for trouble if we do, because I'm not cured of alcoholism. You know, and I'm not talking about the sense of I'm going to accidentally get drunk today, but I'm talking about the spiritual malady just taking over and rotting inside, you know, and feeling more and more separate from the people about me and from the God of my understanding. And so I love this reminder that all I have is a daily reprieve, a delay of punishment, the delay of taking that drink, the delay of wanting to die, the delay of why am I doing this anymore? The delay of like this constant insanity that goes on in my mind, you know? And so it depends on the work that I'm doing. You know, and so I love that I can start doing a 10th step immediately. I got a new sponsor. Let me tell you about that 10th step. That's some in-depth stuff. That shallow stuff, I don't know how I was lasting. You know, besides the power of God goes deep. But today I get to do a 10th step and I get to see things in a way That's painful. That lets me know who and what I really am. That lets me see the dark crevices where I'm still blocking God off. But it also lets me see all the places in my life where I can invite God in. Like, what a beautiful thing on the other side of it. I get to invite God. God is just waiting for me to just be like, all right, I'm done with this. Just like with my drinking, my God is still waiting for me to invite her everywhere. And then there's the second part of this paragraph for me, which is like, it sounds so pretty and nice. As Morgan was reading it, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. My brain was like, man, what would today look like if I actually carried God's will into all of my activities today? My students would have been happier with me. My partner would have been happier with me. The people that were on the road would have probably been happier with me. Like, this is a tall order. Like, every day. I know, just today, we just focus on today, but there's also 24 hours in today. And it doesn't say that I should carry the vision, but that I must carry it into all of my activities. And that's what the 10th step lets me see, all the activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Just once again, these words, thoughts that must go with me constantly on loop. And I've got to say, the fellowship is really good about putting things in my head that are constantly on loop. Sponsorship and friends in the program, or friends in the fellowship, are also really good about putting things on loop. You know, as much as I want there to be like part two of the 12 steps, part three, version 5.6, you know, like iOS updates, like I'm waiting for the update for the 12 steps, but the solution's always the same. It's always the same actions, but I forget it, you know, and not like on purpose. It just kind of just goes to the wayside and my will is back, you know? And then there's this last sentence. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. What I heard in meetings and what were said are completely different things. Let's be clear about that first. What I heard people tell me was that I was going to become a God robot. What I heard people tell me is that I was going to be rendered white as snow. I was going to do everything perfectly, and I was going to be God Junior. That's what I heard. What I missed is things like, it doesn't really matter what I think or feel, it's what I do. It doesn't really matter all of these thoughts in my head. What are my actions saying? You know, just because I don't feel like going to a meeting, I'm still there. Just because I don't like the change that it happens to be online doesn't stop me from participating in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, that is the proper use of the will for me today, aligning my will with God's will. Being inconvenienced, saying yes anyways, showing up when I don't want to, talking to strangers and saying, hi, I've never seen you. Have you been in this meeting before? Like sparking up conversations. That's the proper use of the will. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of times I have to will myself to do the stuff I'm supposed to. I'm not like, oh, let's go skip into, like, no. I'm like, oh, I'm tired. My kids were jerks today. Oh, I have lesson plans to make. I want to get in my pajamas. It's cold. Let's watch Vampire Diaries. And then instead I'm like, oh, let's go to Stella's and go read with this person. Because that is my purpose today. That's what I get to do. So reminding myself that there is a proper use of the will. And my will is important, but it's to be aligned with God's will today. Thanks.
Thank you both so much. I believe we have one last reading, and then I can, if y'all want to each do a couple of minutes, and then we can wrap it up. All right. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who is all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. Tyler?
Thank you. So if I do this 10 step business you guys say I ought to do, I'll get strength, inspiration, and direction, but not lottery numbers. Okay. I guess I'll do it anyway. That's what I pray for today is inspiration, is what I really feel like I need. Cause like was previously mentioned, my will is not aligned with God's will. Cause I am not God. I have an idea of how the world ought to work. And I have, certain, amounts of effort I'm willing to put into that ideal. It's not much, a little bit, but I'm willing to put quite a bit of effort into whining about it. I am really, really good at looking at other people and saying, oh, that guy's shoelaces are loose, he's going to trip and fall, or that guy's driving too fast. Or looking at other people and saying, man, that guy really needs to read this step. I'm really good. I have like objective evidence. Just last weekend, I had somebody tell me about how their weekend was going and how they had this one issue. They're making an amends to somebody and they kind of fell short. I said, hold on, let me think about this. And I wrote my book because I was right before meeting. I opened my book, I read the book, like, oh, I got something for you. Read this paragraph on this page. And sure enough, it was like pretty much exactly what it was directly related. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I can do that for somebody else pretty easily. I need some help figuring out where I'm going. So I can take an inventory, and that's only as good as my objectiveness, which is not, I'm not very objective with myself. Like I said, I have that pride and I have that fear, which warps my own perception of myself. What I really do need is some other people to look at me and say, hey, man, why the hell did you say that to that person? And 9 times out of 10 for me, it's an inappropriate comment. But I need that that exterior view, that audit. And I hate that audit because that's when I give up my control. It's like, I need some help. First off, I'm a submarine mechanic from Montana. I don't do things like ask for help. I'm literally John Wayne. I don't know if you guys know this. I have a lot of pride, a lot of fear. But I need some help looking at my life and say, hey, I don't think I'm on the right path. And sometimes it's easy, like, hey, sponsor, how can I best help my sponsee? Because that's pretty cut and dry, say, stuff. But sometimes it's a little more life-based. Sometimes I talk to somebody else that's not in the program, say, hey, am I doing this personal thing correctly? And 9 times out of 10, I'm not. And to me, that's letting God in. I'm a firm believer that God works through other people. And when I shut out other people, I'm shutting out God. Yes, I pray in the morning and I say, God, please help me. That's wonderful. Much more difficult for me today to say, hey, I don't know how I'm in the wrong here. Or say, hey, is there any way I could improve on my situation I'm having right now? It really sucked when people talk to me unprompted and say, hey, you, Tyler, how dare you do this thing? And to me, letting other people in, that's really where the improvement comes. Because that's when I get to have that objective outside perspective. That's when I get to have that that feedback. Because for years and years and years, I just thought I would just do what I thought was a good idea. And my best thinking landed me into a psych ward when I was 25. My best thinking got me puking on cops. So maybe I should get some outside perspective. And that comes even when I have the best intentions. You know, I thought I was doing a great deal of help in my home group. And then we had this whole group inventory thing and we figured out that a lot of the things I was trying to help out the group with was not really all that perfect. I'll just put it that way. And I love how it says develop this vital sixth sense. So yes, it's important, vital, and we develop it. It's not an overnight thing. So for me, the 10th step is a, there's no ceiling on it. You can always do better. And that's demotivating to me because I don't want to do better. I just want to do perfect right now. That's not how it works, man. I got to say, that's about all I got to say. maybe I shouldn't have had that pot of coffee. Oh, well, thanks for letting me be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
You know, I read this last paragraph and it's been pointed out to me that every page has promises, warnings, directions, you know, and right here for me is it's a promise and it's a warning. If I have carefully followed directions, then I've begun to sense the flow of the spirit into me. You know, that can be a promise or it can be a warning for someone like me. It really depends on like, what is my choice to be? What are my actions saying? You know, and I love this that it said also develop, you know, I wrote to make it new. And I want, and this is a quote, I don't know who it's from. It says, I want my relationship with God to always feel new. And the fact that I wrote that in my book is one of those moments where I'm like, who has Alcoholics Anonymous turned me into? I want my relationship with God to always feel new. You know, and I mean it. And that's what the 10th step allows. Like the 10th step allows me to continuously grow. It allows me to do it a little bit better. Sometimes it allows me to see where I'm doing it a lot of bit worse. You know, but either way, there's still hope. And it's a way for me to grow closer to my creator, you know, and it takes me back to that promise that if I stick close and perform his work well, I'll be enabled to match calamity with serenity. And that is amazing for someone like me. So thanks again for the privilege of being here tonight and the responsibility too.
Thank y'all both so much. That was an awesome meeting. This brings us to the end of our sharing portion. Please feel free to stick around and thank our speakers after the meeting. Everybody will be able to unmute after the Lord's Prayer. All right. Ooh. All right. We've got the QR codes up for the digital seventh tradition right now. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Right. I see Katie has her hand up real quick, and then I'll go along with the one.
I'm Vince. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Vince.
What's up, Morgan? What's up, guys? Just want to put a plug in for CIRCUPA, the Southeastern Regional Conference of Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous, coming to the Sheraton Labor Day weekend. Come be a part of. Love to have you guys. For more information, obviously, you'll see me in the next couple months and give you in-person information there, or just check CIRCUPA, CIRCYPAA.org. Mm-hmm. .org. Yep. Love to have you guys. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Vince. Roland.
Go ahead and unmute, Roland.
Yeah.
Okay. Roland, alcoholic. Sorry about that. I didn't see it. It's a ways away, but in June 13th through 16th, the Global Men's Meditation Retreat. It's the fourth annual one. It'll be happening in Wisconsin. It rotates. It was in Southern California twice, and then last year it was in Boston. Now it's in Wisconsin, and this is my home group that I've had for a long time. So, well, this is Zoom at every day at 11:30 our time. Awesome. Global Men's Meditation. That's the information. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, David, I think you had our wonderful flyer.
Yeah.
Want me to do it or you can do it?
You go, bro.
All right. This home group, as some of y'all know, we do a lovely supper and a speaker event. That is going to be on Monday, March 25th in the room that we normally meet in, as well as you can log on to this exact same Zoom link to hear the speaker. 6 p.m. potluck, 7 p.m. speaker, and it's Brian D. from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We'd love to see y'all there. If you can't make it in person, remember, you can just hop on this link. All right. Looks like there are no other announcements. All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Awesome. Point out that literature is available in person, but not here tonight. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship is in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk. I have the old format because it says, please feel free to talk to any of me. So I'm really working with a chopped down version right here. And all of us will be hanging around a little bit in the Zoom room as well. Reminders, all meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website at simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting, I don't think we're going to Stella tonight either. I'm winging it here, but if a crew wants to roll up there, feel free to. In closing, I'm going to let everybody unmute after the Lord's Prayer, and we can thank our speakers. David, do you want to read the last two on 164? You have that up?
I do. But now I'm like trying to share and talk and unmute. Vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you.
Thank you so much, David. And everybody should be able to unmute if you'd like to join along. And we'll do a quick moment of silence, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
Who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thank you, Ebony. That was so wonderful.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ebony. Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ebony and Tyler. You guys rock. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It's awesome.
Thank you. That's great.
Good to see you, Gretchen. Love you.
Love you too. Great to see you, everybody.